My name is Dave McKay. This is Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'll be hosting the show today. It's my pleasure to be joined today by Jenny, who runs a beautiful retreat center down in Felton, California, called Namaste. And there, she, along with her partner down there, host an event every year to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. So, Jenny, you want to tell us a little bit about the event and kind of how you got started?
Sure. Well, we were just talking today about how long we've been doing this, and it's our ninth year.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. And, well, we've been associated with Sherry Huber and all of you and Living Compassion for 18 years because we figured out that we met Sherry just after Paul and I met, and we've been together 19 years. So we have an anniversary with both us and you.
That's amazing. And so for the last 9 years, you've been hosting this this event down there to benefit the project in Africa.
Right, right. Well, we have Namaste Retreat is a small yoga center, as you know. It's in the San Lorenzo Valley in Felton, California, about 15 minutes out of Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
And we were had worked and been associated with Sherry, a lot longer than 18 years, actually, because I was reading Sherry's books in the 80s and kind of pilfering her philosophy in an inner journey meditation course that I was facilitating at Rancho La Puerta in Tecate, Mexico, where Sherry afterwards went and did some teaching, and we've been going for about 20 years. So we really feel like it started a long time ago. And then when we started here and she started doing some retreats here, the Living Compassion Zambia project was born after that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just it kind of grew out of that. It was such a win-win because we absolutely loved the work. As you know, we had you and the monks come here.
Mm-hmm.
1 year and do a There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat here.
Mm-hmm.
We've had, which I've done myself, and been to the monastery. And so we've loved the work, and we love Sherry and love the monks. And then when we heard about the kids, we just loved that project. So I guess you'd say we did it all for love.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, well, obviously, you know, you mentioned it's a win-win. Obviously, it's a win on our side because, you know, we have this beautiful place we can go to host an event. It's a fun event for everybody who's involved, and we raise money for the African Vulnerable Children's Project. What would you say you get from it? What's the win on your side?
Oh, it's so much. First of all, I think whenever we open ourselves to anything bigger, I think all of us want to be involved in projects that we feel like we're doing good.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just don't know where to start or how to start, or it feels too huge, unless you're Sherry Huber and the monks. And then you guys tackle the big ones.
Uh-huh.
So it was just a wonderful opportunity because we've been donors, but to actually have our space that was here and have us all benefit by taking the workshops and go home transformed, which we always are. Our lives are always transformed.
Mm-hmm.
By the work itself. And then the added plus that we can give the money to such a worthwhile and wonderful cause. And as you know, we even had Teresa come from Africa, and she was here, and we got to host her in the area. And and it's just such a beautiful connection. We could show the videos here. And so we've gotten that good feeling that comes when you can, you know, get beyond yourself. It started very selfishly with all the good things we got from it.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely grown.
Yeah, boy, that's the key to everything, isn't it? The good that comes when you get beyond yourself. It really is a win in three directions because the Africa Project wins. You guys win because you get to, you know, participate and you're doing the practice. You get to participate and benefit from the event itself. And then there's the joy, I think that's a part of what you're pointing at, the joy that comes from being able to give something like that and provide an opportunity for people. And then there's everything that people get who come to actually be able to participate.
That's right. And there's also kind of a same time next year history and community that has always been our interest here, that this place that we happen to live in and own is that we're really stewarding it, and that when we can bring people together here that are like-minded, it's the property sort of emits the energy that is being given.
Mm-hmm.
And so that also, it feels like it goes beyond us, that the energy that we get by doing yoga here and then by doing meditation, it all builds. And people now look forward to it. When's Sherry Huber coming? Oh, I couldn't go last year. Oh, I'm so glad I can go this year, and that kind of thing. So there's a continuity that we really enjoy, too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Anything you want to say about the workshop this year in particular?
Well, I just love, you know, I just love all her titles. You know, every book is got a kernel, a pearl of such truth. And this one is, What Do Power, Success, and Fun Have in Common? The heart of it, of course, she says, is if the answer is awareness, then join me in deepening the practice of what you already know to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And that if your answer isn't awareness, then join me to find out the truth about power, success, fun, and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such key words and key issues for all of us. And I think that the fun, the pleasure, the enjoyment, the sense of humor, the down-to-earthness is what Sherry and what all of you bring to the Zen practice to make it so palatable and so real to incorporate in our lives. I really look forward to that. And of course, for this one, the requirement is that you bring a recording device and earphones. Because I guess it's always based a little on her last book, right?
Yeah. I suppose so. I actually don't know, of course. But, you know, that really is the heart of our practice right now, is the recording and listening practice. So I'm sure that's why the requirement. You know, it occurs to me that, you know, in a way, you and Paul, as you guys are pulling this together, really are kind of embodying that retreat title. You know, power, success, and fun. You're bringing it all together to make this happen.
Yeah, I think that that's that kind of like-minded, like-spirited philosophy. You know, that when like meets like, you know, it just keeps getting bigger.
And I think
What You Practice Is What You Have. Her last book is it's something we've been teaching in our yoga retreats this year, and it's and I also did the email course, and so I feel like it's something that just continues. I feel like she's with me, and the practice is with me every day, even more deep than it has been before. So I'm excited about other people sharing in that during this retreat, and also just deepening it for myself.
Yeah, that's great, and it's really fun to be able to provide that for people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, for the practice, for the people in Africa, for the monks and Sherry, I'd like to say thank you to you and Paul for, you know, making this happen, especially over 9 years. That's an amazing, you know, kind of a record of dedication and commitment. And so, you know, we're just really, really grateful for what you guys do.
Well, we love it. We're grateful that we can do it, and I hope we have a full house as we usually do. And we do have some limited accommodations here, as you know. It's a small retreat center, but we usually have some people that from out of town that want to stay overnight or want to have a friend come in. So
they can
contact us for that too at yogars@namaste.net or just through you, through Living Compassion. And
yep. Either way, you'll do it. yogars@namaste.net.
Right. It's namastay, which is namaste, because they can stay, and we stay for 9 years and longer.
All right. Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us today, Jenny, and to share that with us.
Thanks so much, Dave, and I really look forward, and Paul does too, to seeing you guys again.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, me too. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, gotcha. Lots of love.
Yeah. So, Michael, before I pass it off to you, I want to update folks. Last good news update, we talked about the new participation game that's been set up, and so we want to update folks on that. And let me see. So far, right as of today, We have 1,745 points.
Wow.
And for folks who didn't hear the part of the show last time, we're setting up for people to get points as they participate. So you get like a, you know, I can't remember what it is, but like a point or two for sending in a tweet. You get points for participating in the radio show and that kind of thing. And let's see. So far we have, so people pledge against those points. And so far we have $18,265 pledged.
Wow. I'm about to cry.
That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
That is so amazing.
It really works. And we have 42 people pledged so far. So 42 people make up that 18,265,
wow,
if I understand right. And let me see if I can get this right. That so there's we're having, it's kind of like a pledge drive right now. And we've got one more week in the pledge drive. We're going for 150 pledges. We actually got quite a little ways to go. So we're trying to get as many people to pledge as possible for this week. And during these couple weeks, so this week and next week is my understanding, then anybody who pledges is entered in like a raffle to win a guidance appointment with Sherry.
Wow.
So that's a kind of an extra incentive there. So if folks are out there, you're considering doing it, now would be a great time to jump in, and you might have the great good fortune and good luck to have a chance to talk to Sherry for a while.
Great. So we're looking for about 108 more pledges, if you're doing the math right.
Uh-huh.
And we have about a week or two to get those in. Is that what you said?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. And yep, there's no minimum, right? Any amount is, we're looking for participation.
Absolutely. Yep. And no minimum and no maximum, of course.
And no maximum, of course.
And if folks want to kind of see the page that kind of has a lot of details and says how it works and all that kind of stuff, you can navigate there through the Living Compassion website.
Yes. Yes. It's beautiful. And I understand Sherry's going to do 3 guidance appointments with the 3 lucky folks.
Yep, that'll be good.
Fabulous. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, thanks a lot, Michael. Have a great show.
Okay, we will.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. That was so fun. There is so much about that. First of all, I happen to know that Jen and Rebecca landed safely in Zambia.
Great.
And I think they're now sleeping as we speak. I had no idea that we had been doing that Dalton retreat for 9 years.
Wow.
It's outrageous, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It is such a beautiful spot. Anybody who can possibly come there, I you know, it's just, it's a beautiful spot to be, and
yeah,
Jenny and Paul are fabulous, as everyone now knows. And so that's great. And I had no idea about the participation game, how it was going. I confess, I've been getting ready for a retreat down at the monastery, so I have not been on my computer and haven't visited the page to see the update. So that's a lot of good news in one little segment.
It is. It's a lot of good news in one segment. Yes.
Very
fun. So great. I have some announcements here.
All right.
Friday, July 8th is the last day to register for the next Reflective Listening Buddies Quarter.
Boy, I'll tell you, everywhere I go, I haven't been out of this country on retreat this year, but everywhere I go around this country, I say, how many people are doing Reflective Listening Buddies? And you know, about half the people in the group raise their hand, and I say, how is it? Oh, my God, it's the most amazing thing. It's the most wonderful thing. So that's another one of those. Boy, if you haven't done it, take advantage. And if the voices have talked you out of doing it, sign back up.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It is a great program.
Mm-hmm.
And as we just heard about, you'll be in Felton at Namaste at the end of July. That's the 29th and 30th.
Lucky me.
Yes. Yeah. What do power, success, and fun have in common? Fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And then I just saw a new retreat on the calendar, What the Buddha Taught, August 4th through 7th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's.
Right, Mr. Dave McKay.
Great. And then Saturday, August 6th, you'll be in Edmonds, Washington, which is, of course, Seattle, leading a workshop called Connecting to Your Inner Wisdom.
Yes.
And then back to Esalen for another weekend retreat, August 12th through 14th.
Talk about a beautiful spot.
Yes, there's a lot of beautiful spots around here.
Have you noticed I only go to beautiful
spots? It's so fabulous.
It's part of my, it's a big part of my successful life plan.
Great.
I go to beautiful places and spend time with fabulous people.
It's a great plan.
It's a great plan.
And you'll be looking at, what do these questions have in common? And then August 17th through 24th, what you practice is what you have. Special retreat with you, Sherry, for participants in any of the It's Time to Feel Good email classes.
Yes, I think this is our fourth one, right?
Yeah, they're coming kind of nonstop, I've noticed.
Yeah. It's one of the best things that ever happened to practice. I'm committed to doing that email class again through, for the month of November. That's where it all started, was last November, so that everybody who wants to can get a chance to participate in that retreat. And then I'll tell you another secret, and that is that I don't think it's a secret. I think I've told this actually, but the Not What But How retreat has it's not a facelift. It's an entire being lift, and that's going to be revealed this coming month. I can't remember what the dates are. This one is full, but as soon as the word gets out about it, we'll start putting some more of those on the calendar, because that retreat is going to be as powerful for people, I think, as the What You Practice, and it's a powerhouse, which you will find out because you're signed up for the one coming right up, right?
Yes, in about 7 days.
That's right. I can't wait.
Very excited. And then August 27th through September 3rd, the extraordinary There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Yeah, the best. The grandparent of all.
Yes. And finally, the 10th annual Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 1st. Wow.
We know how to have a good time, don't we?
Yes. You know, I've noticed the monastery is about packed this summer.
It is.
One event after another after another after
another.
It is.
And I got to tell you, we're having fun. on the 1st, which is right around the corner, Friday I think it is, our deepening practice people arrive.
Yes.
And the folks who are going to spend a month with us.
Yeah.
And so they arrive, and then what, 5 or 6 days later, we just fill the place to brimming with the What You Practice retreat. Have a couple of days. I feel like a hotel or something. You know, where people move out. Everybody moves out after the convention, and then everything is just all revitalized, and then the next huge crowd comes in. So we're at capacity for the entire month of July, and we're very, very excited about it. We have a new menu that's being revealed, unveiled for the first time with these upcoming retreats, and we're excited.
Wow. Wow. I didn't think another retreat could be put in there, and then there's 2 or 3 days free, and then something gets put in there.
Well, you know, we're committed, and so this is what we want to do. We have a great team of people to do it, and we figure we might as well do as much as we can, because you know we have such a short season. Really, our accommodations don't work for the winter. And so we have from April to November to do most of what we can do at the monastery. And we're finally in a position to be able to do this, to just really have retreats back-to-back and make it work. So
great.
Big time. Big time
great.
For Sangha.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And it's a big time for our radio show here. There are a lot of callers here.
We better stop this and talk to them, huh?
Yes. And the reminders, of course. One topic, please, and about 5 minutes.
You should have reminded me about that. I did well on the one topic, but that 5 minute thing, I just can't seem to get the hang of it.
All right.
Thanks, Michael.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Sharon. I think
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. I can't believe I'm talking to you. I just left Most Amazing. There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. I'm just so excited. And, you know, I was sitting there on my first Sunday, I believe, and it was surreal. I couldn't believe I had actually gotten the plane ticket and gotten there from Louisiana. I'm down near New Orleans, and I was like, what are you doing here? And now it's the same thing now speaking to you. And I'm just so excited, and I started reading your materials. I don't even know if I told you who I am. My name is Sharon, by the way.
Yes.
I'm a little excited here, and I want to send a great big loving shout-out to the month. Talk about living compassion. And Chris and Jen and Dave and all those wonderful participants in my group. They're in my heart forever. They're in my heart forever. And when people ask me about the retreat, all I can say is Amazing Grace. Just one of the most beautiful things I've ever done for myself. It's life-changing. And and it wasn't the easiest thing for me to do, but I faced the challenges and so very, very happy I did. So let me let you talk.
Yes, well, I just wanted to underline what you said, because it's not easy, is it? It's not easy to find out about something like that, and then you're going to get on an airplane and fly to the other side of the country to spend 8 days with total strangers doing God knows what. I mean, it's scary. It's a gutsy thing for anybody to do. And so, of course, now I'm always pretty sure it's going to turn out well for a person, but there are no guarantees, and so I'm really, really glad it went so well for you.
Absolutely did. I mean, transformed my life. I just recently lost my mom. I was telling them when I came, and I think that had something to do. I think she had something to do, and my grandmother, with my being there, because I just got so much. I mean, there was such a tremendous feeling that took place for me, and that happens also with your work, with your book. With archives in particular, I listen to them all day long. You know, I turn them on like a morning talk show.
Some people are listening to other kinds of talk shows, huh? So we're going to start a quiet revolution here of awareness practice talk radio.
Yes, it's changing my life. It's changing my life. And I just can't say enough about the presence of those people out there at the monastery. The monks, you'll just never know. They are demonstrating, you know, the compassion, the love and the compassion that
what's possible for us in this world, huh?
Absolutely.
So we hear so much about you know, what's wrong with the world and what's wrong with people and this kind of idea that you know, what we read about newspapers or see on television or whatever is just the way life is. And so to see that it's possible for people to live in a very different way, and then to know that what's possible for each one of us is to be a part of that different way of living, it's really quite a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. As beautiful as those awesome gardens and wildflowers.
That's so great.
That's what I wanted to say. I just wanted to say hey to everybody.
Good.
And let you know what a tremendous...
Well, here's the deal, Sharon. Now that you know how easy it is to get on an airplane and fly over here, you can do it more often.
Absolutely. I'm planning on it.
All right, good. We'll see you here soon then.
Thank you again very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Sharon. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
You know, we had a first-time caller there.
Yes, we did.
So I think we get big participation points for that, don't we?
That is so great.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I'd love to hear the story of transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Renee from California.
Hey, Renee.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You?
Great, great.
What's happening?
I love the game.
You love the game?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I've done a whole bunch more stuff, and I've gotten more orders, too.
Oh, for bracelets.
For bracelets, right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Of course, because that's one of the things, isn't it? Sell something, buy something on Sangha Market?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did a cartoon, and which was really fun, and showed it around work, and everybody thought it was funny.
Good.
And
good.
So it's been fun, yeah.
It's kind of a non-threatening way to get to share practice with other folks, isn't it? To let people kind of have a sense of what you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm not like you. I do like games, and I do like to win. And but it's even better when I get to help everybody else win. So
yeah.
So that's really great. but I've been bringing awareness practice into work this year, and have been pretty successful at it. And I've been writing articles about awareness at work and just bringing it there. And I've just been having a lot of fun. It was kind of like the uncharted territory for me before. And I hadn't really done that. You know, it was kind of like it was separate from work.
Yeah. And so can you say a little bit about, so writing articles, like?
Well, I've been looking for awareness. I've been reading a lot about awareness and leadership and self-awareness and leadership, and there's actually a lot written on it, and just been exploring my own issues whenever I have problems at work. So like if I have to counsel an employee or motivate employees to do something, or so it's been sort of like modeling what is done at the monastery, I think, and celebrating accomplishments and acknowledging people more. And
good.
That's sort of
kind
thing.
Of a loving kindness, compassion, sort of a
an
approach at work. What a notion.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it's just changing my life. I mean, it's like I didn't like my job before, and now I love it. It's like it's so weird. I mean.
Yeah.
It's almost like I had an identity around not liking my work.
Uh-huh. Well,
and
probably a lot of conversation about it.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, the noodling and the circular things that go on with that in terms of should I stay or should I go, and what should I be doing with my life. And I'm doing with my life what I want to be doing with it, and that's practicing mindfulness wherever I am.
Yes. So we talk about the world of duality and how that's an illusion, and that, in fact, we live in a non-separate reality. And then, as you're indicating, we go right ahead and believe in the reality of all kinds of separation. So, you know, there's my awareness practice, but I certainly can't do that at work. I can't bring that to work. And no, you can't. It's not going to be popular to go in and preach at people about how they should be different and what they're doing wrong. That's never going to go over well. But using work to support your awareness practice, practicing being more aware, more attentive, bringing more kindness,
right,
more compassion, more understanding, more appreciation, to people who happen to work in the same place, that seems like a really manageable and empowering and loving and fun way to approach things.
Yeah, and people, I've had a couple of, or quite a few examples of being present to someone when sometimes they report to me and I notice something that they're doing, and because of the relationship that I've built, I've brought them in and told them what I've seen, and they take it with, okay, I'll take a look at that, and I'm getting a lot of gratitude for it.
Yes.
Versus it being a punitive way of talking to them. It's a, I'm doing it in a totally different way than I would have, or that
yes.
most other people do it.
Yeah, and right. And so what they can feel is, gosh, it's great to have somebody give you the straight scoop
mm-hmm.
without judgment or punishment or threats or...
Right, right, yeah.
I mean, don't we all wish we had actually had that when we were growing up? For somebody
yes.
just to say, you know, this is what's going on and this is what I'm seeing and I think that that's part of what's not working for you. And then to
yeah.
have the freedom to discover that for ourselves, that's quite a gift.
And really, I'm the one who's getting the most out of it.
Yes.
Because
yep.
I'm present to them.
Yep.
And I get, it's just like, it just fills me with joy when it happens.
Yeah.
So I had another conversation with someone who was having a big difficulty. Someone was actually stalking her. And it was outside of work. And we just had this conversation, and I was really present and listening and gave her, I didn't really give her advice. I just said, well, this might be going on or that might be going on. And it really wasn't me doing it. I was just sort of being present.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up that she was able to resolve it with that person. And, you know, so it's just things that normally wouldn't happen at work.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I go each day with that attitude of mind to what can I bring here from my practice. And sometimes it's new and sometimes it's just the practice. You know, I don't know what it's going to be.
Exactly. And we don't, do we? So back to that not arriving there with that same old conversation.
Mm-hmm,
of
mm-hmm.
I don't like this and I don't like
yeah,
that
yeah.
and should I be here, shouldn't I? When that conversation goes and there isn't that division between my family, my friends, my work, my whatever, it's just all of us here in
yep.
whatever circumstance we are in this moment, it's all practice and then it's all an opportunity to find for ourselves and bring to the situation compassion.
Yeah, and another, I won't take too much more time. Another part that's been really great has been the critic. When the critic's there, since there's a lot of times where I'll feel bad about something at work that I didn't either get done right or didn't
mm-hmm.
finish on time. And I noticed that I was feeling bad, and so I started to watch that. And as I watched it, that feeling started to go away.
Oh.
I was projecting onto the other people that they were thinking poorly of me. When I started to watch it, it was my own thing, you know, and people, and
yes, and I mean, what you're bringing is, you know, an expanded element of what happens when we watch something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that realization that I'm projecting that, and I can bring
right.
all of that back to myself, and just that the piece of it that's so powerful. Turn our attention to it, whatever it is, it begins to kind of dissolve, begins to come
right.
apart, because there isn't that story maintaining it.
But it dissolved, and I don't think it was true.
Right.
That
right.
They
the
really
only
thought
thing,
that of me.
Right. The only thing maintaining it is the unexamined belief and story.
Right.
Yeah. That's very helpful.
Yeah, so I've just really been enjoying mindfulness in all aspects of my life, and the game just makes it more fun. And
everybody wins.
It's not separated anymore. It's just like
yeah.
it's all right there, all together, all day long. You know, and I have this call I can do at night. I have reflective listening another night. I have this week the reflective listening support call. So it's sort of just like this continuum of practice.
Yes, of support for
right.
for ourselves and one another.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's lovely. We're very fortunate.
Yes, thank
mm-hmm.
you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for calling, Renee.
Okay, take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Renee. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Isn't that good?
That is very good. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry.
Hello. How are you?
Well, doing okay, really. Had some sickening dread on this call, which is something I usually don't experience, I guess, because I've called so many times.
Yeah.
But I knew what was coming, so, the reason I'm calling is actually to, I've seen how in the last 13 months, how practice has really slipped away in quite a bit. When I look back at April of 2010, when my wife was at the monastery for a month, then I was practicing a ton. It was great. And then, well, I can tell you all the different things that happened, but just how lots of little things have faded away. Not completely. I still have my reflective listening calls, and I call the show, and I do this and that. But I've observed it and talked about it with my reflective listening buddy a few times, and it occurred to me yesterday that what I could do is to just sort of, for me, being more public, I've gotten to the habit of not keeping promises for myself, so I think it'd be an extra little oomph or kick if I can just publicly sort of recommit to practice, and then I can use these calls every 6 weeks to check in specifically on that topic, because it's easy for me, or I've noticed that I can call in and say, oh, I saw this, it isn't it great, yeah, and it is great, and I'm glad I saw it, and it's sort of ignoring the larger picture.
Uh-huh.
And so by forcing myself, as it were, by focusing on practice, recommitting to practice, and showing up for myself and making that the topic of my calls, it'll, I think, sort of keep me more on track.
Yeah, be a support for you. And how do you do with the 30-day retreat in making a change for good?
I'll finish it someday, darn it.
Say what?
I'll finish it someday.
Oh, okay. And so do you use it as a support for deepening practice, or?
No, but I certainly could.
Yeah, that might be another, just a that kind of daily check-in with how am I doing.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I've started it several times. I've never got all the way to day 30, but yeah, I know.
Well,
so I know how it goes with all the daily assignments and this and that. Yeah, that
so
would be a good.
This would be a perfect time for that.
Yes, it would, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I think you're right. That's why. That's why if we when we have a chance to practice with other people, making that kind of commitment to showing up.
Oh yeah.
It really does support us because, as you
mm-hmm.
say, you know, if we have too much time on our own, then we can just slowly slip away and not really notice how far we've slid away until something happens and practice
mm-hmm.
isn't there for us, and then of course self-hate wants to blame us for
mm-hmm.
having made those decisions when actually
yeah.
we just lulled into unconsciousness while the decisions were being made.
Uh-huh. And I can see all the different aspects. It's actually pretty interesting. But what I've noticed is, in particular, is having children is what essentially drove me to practice and all the stuff that brought up. And I can go back from when I first started doing that, and I can see how I was able to relate to them much better once I started really practicing.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in the last, the last few months in particular, but I've just noticed how my patience has disappeared, and I find myself getting really upset and really angry in ways that I hadn't done in a while.
Yeah.
And so that was sort of the clue. So it's interesting. I've seen what it's like when I'm practicing and how things go, and now I've seen how it is when I don't practice.
Yeah, and that's... Again, the voices would like to make it a big negative thing that you
mm-hmm.
haven't been practicing in the same way, but seeing that for yourself and realizing the toll that it takes, the cost for yourself and your family when you don't keep your commitment to yourself and your practice, good. There's inspiration.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it goes from should to no, I want to, because
yes.
I really see the difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, it is good.
So no wonder there was some sickening dread. You were going to reveal what it was doing to you.
I'm going to shed some light on it and get it out into the open.
Yeah, move it from the dark room to the light room.
To the light room, uh-huh.
Yeah, good. Right. Well, anything else going on?
Kitchen remodel. That's lots of opportunities for.
Oh. Oh, for misery.
You know, it has its moments, but I, you know, the end result's going to be fantastic.
Oh,
so
good.
It's got to wade through the. Well, gee, that's not the color I ordered, and that kind of thing, and
Yeah. And it's funny, isn't it? How, oftentimes. Realizing, I'm going to love this when it's done, gives us kind of the inspiration to do things that we might not do otherwise. And that same, I'm going to love this when it's done, can be used against us if we're not careful, where we stop enjoying each moment of the process because
yes.
what we want to do is get done with it.
Yes, yes. You know, it's yes, I've seen that, and I am going to enjoy it when it's done. And it's been, you know, there's been moments, certainly, in this process, and we're not done yet by any stretch. We've actually just started this week. But, yeah, it's, you know, we are doing some things that we usually don't do, and it is, it's different now. We have a microwave and a electric skillet and a barbecue outside, so we're making do, and it's all right.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, you're cooking in solidarity with a lot of the rest of the world.
Tell you what, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, keep us posted, huh?
I will.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Mike.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Sri Devi from San Francisco.
Well, how are you?
Good. I missed you guys. It's been a while since I've called in.
It's been a long while. What have you been up to?
Lots of stuff, busy and lots of traveling, but I just have been missing Sangha so much, so I'm so excited that I got the opportunity to talk to you.
Yeah,
and I can't tell you, I'm just going online and learning all of the stuff about the participation game, and I'm so excited about it to see all of the opportunities. Oh, it's great.
Good.
Yeah. I've already signed up for a couple of things. So
good. The bridge walk, I hope, since you're right there in the neighborhood.
Oh,
good, good.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I was calling because I've been looking at something that's been happening around a relationship that I have been in for a little over a year and a half, and started out as a romantic relationship, and then we transitioned into a friendship, and then about 6 months ago, I've just realized for myself that I think that it's really not a healthy relationship for me to engage in, and just started kind of spending my energy in other places, and ultimately this person contacted me and said, you know, I feel like I see all this distance and I feel all of these things, and here's a long email, and his email was pointing out a lot of things about me, and I watched myself kind of getting triggered and wanting to like respond and negate what he was saying, and then I just realized, like, you know, that would just be all of my parts responding, and I think, you know, let me go to that place of just, I'm going to sit on this for 2 or 3 days, I'm just going to be quiet and see what comes to me. And then I just sent him a response to him, just wishing him all the best, letting him know that I've just decided to move on from the relationship, and just wishing him all the best, and not choosing to engage and have my parts engage with all of the, but you did this, this, and this pieces. And I'm just noticing coming out of it how I felt really good for about 2 hours and felt light and felt good. And then a conditioning just came in and wanted to make me be the bad person. And suddenly I was really bad and what a horrible person to let go of this relationship. And then immediately once that happened, I saw how it wanted to make this person bad and wanted to remind me of all the things they did. And I can clearly see it's either I'm bad or they're bad. So
right.
I see that and I go, don't go there. And so now I think what's happening is I'm just sitting with some of the sadness of the loss of the relationship, you know, even though I do feel it's a healthier choice for me not to be a part of it. I just wanted to talk about that.
Well, it'd be interesting to see. I don't know if you've done this kind of inquiry, but to see who it is who's sad.
Yeah.
Because it could be, you know, there are always at least two choices. Could be somebody who is simply sad about any loss.
Mm.
And it could also, of course, be conditioning, using a different angle to get you hooked into giving it some energy.
Oh, I didn't consider that. But yeah, no, I think you're that's a great thing to consider, because you know, I've been using the recording and listening practice a lot, and just kind of reflecting on what's been going on with me. And it's interesting, as I work with I invite the mentor in, the other piece that's come out of this has been that there's clearly a story that conditioning has created around the mentor, and that if I really was getting mentored properly, I would feel better as soon as the mentor showed up and I would be completely happy. And I'm like, I don't know if that's true. And for me, it's just about feeling loved and accepted and cared for and just having somebody with those parts of me, or being there for the parts of me as they're going through whatever they're going through, and not necessarily about trying to have some type of experience.
Exactly. So if if we looked at a mentoring relationship, say in a professional situation, if I have a mentor who is there to support me and mirror for me that I'm equal to my life experience, and you know, kind of offer some wisdom and guidance and that sort of thing. That person is not going to try to talk me into feeling better when I'm having a difficult time at work, right? There'll be perhaps some wisdom about, you know, sometimes it's just difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take it out of that, you know, the personal realm where
conditioning will, if it's personal, it's often conditioning wants us to have a completely different relationship with circumstances than
mm-hmm.
if they are professional.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so it can just be helpful perhaps to look at it and put it in a different context and say, now, what is a mentor? What is the role of a mentor?
Mm.
It's not to be a therapist. It's not to be a best friend. Not going to be your mom.
You know? Mm-hmm.
It's somebody who sees you clearly, knows your inherent adequacy, and actually expects, if we, it's kind of a dangerous word, but expects you to show up as the best that you can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah, and the I know one of the things that I've heard you say very often is we are adequate to our lives, and I can't tell you how much I have that as a text that just is permanent on my phone that I will not delete, and I look at it every day, and that's been so helpful, and it just echoes exactly what you're saying. It's just that belief that I am adequate, or that experience,
yeah,
actually, that I am adequate,
yeah,
in my life, and,
yeah,
and that's very helpful during times like these where it just feels like, oh my gosh, like, how am I going to handle this, and what if I run into this person, and I go, you know, I'm not going to go there and entertain that conversation. If I see this person on the street, I'm going to trust that I'll manage it to the best of my ability, and that's all I can do.
That's right, and you'll have your eyes wide open, and you'll,
yeah,
have the experience that you have, you'll pay attention, and you'll see something.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll be fine.
Yes, it will be. It will,
yeah,
be. Thank you so much, and I'm so excited to talk to you, and so much looking forward to this participation game and helping to rack up as many points as I possibly can.
There you go. There you,
yes,
go.
Absolutely.
Great talking with you. Thanks, okay, for calling.
Bye, Terry. Bye, Michael.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Sherry Davy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
Right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by Voice Busters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Uh-huh. Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Hey.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, Michael, it's Jodine in San Francisco.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. Hey, I'm calling to check in because I called about 2 weeks ago, and I was dealing with some rugged stuff, and I so appreciate the guidance and that the that it's just so easy to pick up the phone and call the show. And I've been really lucky in the past couple of months to get on a number of times. So I basically, in that rugged place I was in, and it was about conditioning telling me that I was going to be inadequate to succeed, quote unquote, at the deepening practice retreat next month.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically just started practicing like my hair was on fire. I didn't see any other alternative because, you know, it was really coming at me. And the first thing that I did was I was getting this message that if you have to sit 3 to 5 times a day, that's like way more than you're used to. And it was telling me that I was going to have a relapse of back pain issues that I've dealt with over the years. And so I just went to practice and I said, okay, how do you know that? And I started meditating 3 times a day. And I can't do half an hour every single time, but I figured out a way to meditate in the middle of the day when I'm at work. And so I would meditate in the morning, at work, and in the evening. And I'm doing fine. Physically, I'm doing fine with it. And the other thing that happened was I just dropped into the refuge that is there for me on my cushion.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, it wasn't like it took care of everything, but just that extra effort that I was making for myself started me on the way out of this mess that it seemed like I was in. And so with that kind of in place and keeping all of my supports in place, I ended up backing up. So I was looking at this process where conditioning convinces me that I have a problem and it's really real and that it should get in the driver's seat and, like, take over, like, fixing it.
Uh-huh.
So the last time I called, I was on the downstream side of that. And what was going on was I was getting woken up in the middle of the night almost every night with, like, you know, obsessive thinking about, like, all these worst-case scenarios where the retreat could be ruined. And what ended up happening was with a whole lot of willingness and, you know, the practice that I have under my belt and the mentor there with me, I backed the whole thing up to like what happens leading up to somebody falls for this thing is really real. And I was up in the middle of the night for about 10 days, 10, 12 days in a row, just mentoring who was there, who was freaking out, you know, as it was coming at me. And so now I have this amazing collection of basically a 2 chairs that I do it with just switching hands with the recorder.
Yes.
Yes,
I love that.
And it's amazing. It works. So I've got back in touch with a lot of these parts of me, and I'm reassuring them, and we're like together now, and we're not in the dark room. And what the thing that I'm still kind of the juice is still going on. It seems like is there is a part of me. Who I worked with my therapist with this, and she's 6.5 years old, and she concluded through her life experience that nobody can take care of her, like the people who are taking care of her physical needs, just can't really be there for her, like can't take care of her emotional needs. So it's like there's an adult there, but then the adult checks out, and the child at that point can, it seems to me, just be overcome with panic and fear and like just a whole ball of really intense, unpleasant, quote unquote, emotions. And somehow she needs somebody to relieve that. And what happens is she turns to conditioning, like conditioning is there. And it just doesn't work.
So in other words, in that moment of need, what I would bet somebody older turns to is a coping mechanism.
Yes.
Instead of the turning to unconditional love and acceptance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of turning to center or the mentor being there to step in and reassure and guide and comfort, what arises next when that child is there in that panic state is a coping mechanism.
Mhm. Yeah, and I had the experience. My therapist was helping me, bless her heart, where the therapist stepped in. We were doing like an emotional freedom kind of scenario thing, like using a traumatic memory, and she was there and she stepped in, like showing me that it can happen. And then bringing me into the memory and like rewriting the memory where the child turns to me and I provide for her need.
Uh-huh.
And that seemed to break the whole spell, and it's been like unwinding since then. But she comes back and I start to feel all that sensation and emotion, and I actually felt it as the, the movement, sensation, thought, emotion, condition, behavior sequence.
Uh-huh.
And I realized that I think conditioning knows if it can get me or somebody inside me to feel that sensation, then the pattern is that means
that's right.
Panic button.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why the work that you're doing, what you're practicing, is so important, because what we learn to do is there's that sensation. So if we
yeah.
see it as a juncture, right? So I'm at this crossroads, and conditioning's habit is to go to the right and follow that pattern into misery. And
yeah.
so what you're learning to do is you get to that place, you feel that sensation, and go, oh, right. What that sensation means is I need to, and you
turn on my reassurance tape.
Yeah, yeah. You put on the you turn to the information that you know is current, present, and true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the very set of sensations that has always led toward suffering those sensations are now being used to turn away from suffering. Which is that's what makes it so powerful. You know, if you
yeah.
had to get to another place, that would be tricky. But it's simply
oh yes,
yeah,
like get to sleep, for instance.
Yeah, yeah. But because it's the same set of sensations, and all that's happening is you're realizing, oh, those sensations don't mean that. Those sensations are my reminder.
Oh.
To come back to the experience that I know is possible for me.
Oh, okay. Like this is where I am, and this does not mean this. And I have a choice here.
That's right.
That I never saw before.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. And that's where I am. So like, so I can't change that. It's where I am.
Yes. And you don't need to, because what happens as you turn your attention away from suffering and toward compassion and loving kindness, that karma is dissolved. So
yeah.
Before long, those sensations literally will mean to you loving kindness and compassion.
Wow. I can see it. I can see it transforming.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ooh. we don't need to fix anything or change anything. It's just that shift in the attention, so that what I'm having in it is an experience of loving kindness, acceptance, embracing, whatever it is. Every
yeah.
time those sensations are there, that's what I feel. Those sensations mean it. It really is literally using the same process that caused us to suffer to free us.
Mm.
Isn't that good?
Good, yeah. Good, good.
We could even say very good.
Yeah. Yeah, and true in a way that's not open to doubt.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
What came up for me was that, you know, as I was realizing that sitting was the extra sitting I was doing was helping unwind all of this, was the thing from our recitation that compassionate mindfulness proves this path.
Uh-huh.
Because I just came back to mindfulness, and the whole thing just started to unravel, and here I am.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But there you have it.
All
and,
right.
And it's a practice. We could say it's a formula. It's a process that is replicable. And as a scientist, you no doubt appreciate that.
Right. It's reproducible.
Exactly. There you go. All right.
Okay.
Well,
all right,
thank
great.
You.
Thank you so much. See you
You're
Friday.
Very welcome. Talk to you soon.
Yes.
See you soon.
See you soon.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You've been listening to another great hour of Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Thank you, Mike.
We are lucky humans.
We are. It's a good time.
It is a good time.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
Okay, great.
All right. Bye.
Bye.